The eighth day of Christmas, taken from the idea of the song that we have one day, 2 days, and so forth through the 12th day of Christmas. As we were driving home last night, I commented to my wife that most of the home decorations and the lights outside of the homes have already been turned off and I guess taken down. Probably for most of you, you have already put away the Christmas tree and all the decorations. All the presents have been placed wherever you could find to place them. The leftover wrapping paper and all that has also been put away till next year. And whatever you desired to return has, I assume, already been returned. And what you're going to have to keep, you've already decided you'll keep. And for the most part, things are back to normal. And Christmas is past history. And our focus now, of course, is on the new year. The last Sunday of the year always presents a problem to me. Not real sure, do you still dwell on Christmas when most people's minds have left it far behind? You go ahead and talk about New Year before it ever gets here, or you just talk about anything you'd like to that has no relation whatsoever to Christmas or to the New Year. So I decided to continue on. Jesus would just be 5 days old today. That's not very long. Not even a week old yet. And so I don't think we can really just lay him aside. Well, that's bygone period of history. That's time past. And so let's move on. Just 5 days old, you see. I would assume they have by now left the manger. I said assume. Don't know that. I don't think they'd want to stay there permanently in the manger. Which means probably Joseph found a house somewhere in which to stay in Bethlehem. You wouldn't take your wife and your baby back to Nazareth this quick, 80-mile journey. So I'm just going to assume that they're living now, for the time being, in Bethlehem. I also want you to keep in mind that this was a Jewish family. And there are things about the Jewish family that most of us do not practice, not part of our culture. But it was a culture that was regulated by laws God gave to Moses. And I'll hope today to teach you some things maybe you don't know, just for the sake of knowing it. Jesus was born to two people, Joseph and Mary, who were very law-abiding, law-conscious people. By law-abiding and law-conscious, I mean they knew the laws of God, the ceremonial laws and the moral laws. I think that's one of the reasons that God chose them to take care of baby Jesus, his only son. That they were very concerned about obeying the ceremonial and the moral laws that God had laid down. This is important to God, that people be obedient. I don't think he would ever. They weren't sinless, but they did their best to try to be obedient to the laws of God. And in picking someone to raise your child, in case you were unable or in case you died, is a question that oftentimes comes up with young parents. You have no guarantee that you'll live until your children are grown and married and gone on their own. So who will you leave your child to in case you can't take care of it? What is the criteria you would pick? Well, most of us pick relatives. But God picked, I think, with the number one priority that they be a law-abiding, a righteous-minded, obeying kind of people to his law. Those who regard his laws with obedience. God would not pick, and I would not either want to pick for my children, anyone who would raise them who would disregard the laws of God. Who would think the laws are unimportant and that you can keep whichever ones you want and break the ones you don't like. So I think Joseph and Mary were well qualified in the matter of obeying the laws of God. Now since Christ was born in a home where God's laws were known and observed, I can tell you what happened on the eighth day of Christmas. Never preached on this. Luke 2:21. Need to understand again, this is Jewish culture. And when 8 days had passed, the child was circumcised. And at this day, his name was officially certified to be Jesus. The name which had been given to Joseph and Mary by the angel even before the child was conceived in the womb of Mary. This was an ironclad law in the land of Israel. It comes from Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and has a man child, she shall be unclean. I don't understand this. I just read it to you. She shall be unclean for 7 days. That is, she shall be isolated. How about that, women? Isolated for 7 days. I wonder why the shepherds were allowed to come near her. I can't answer my questions now. I just have my mind that asks questions. Even Joseph was to be isolated from her. Not the baby, but all people for 7 days. After 7 days, she was free to circulate among her husband only. She could not go to the temple. She could not go out in public. She was declared to be unclean. Now, you've got to ask God, women, what he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. All right? It has something to do with blood being shed. Anyway, these are the days of separation for her infirmity. During these 7 days, she shall be declared unclean. Then on the 8th day, she can come out and be with her husband, and I guess some other friends, close relatives. But on the 8th day, the flesh of the foreskin, that is, the boy, shall be circumcised on the 8th day. Now, that is the law. Now, it was important to Jesus that this happened, just as important for you to have a birth certificate for your kid. You know how important a birth certificate is in America. It qualifies you to be a citizen of this nation, a resident of this land, entitled to all the benefits provided by this nation. You better have a birth certificate. It was required of all male children who wanted to be citizens of the land of Israel. If you want to be called a descendant of Abraham and get the blessings of God promised to Abraham, this had to be done. You don't skip this as a Jew now. If you wanted to go into the temple to ever worship, this would have been required. In other words, it symbolized separation from other gods, separation from sin. It implied you have been separated for God. And that's what the symbolism of this is. It was our sign that signified separation from that which was sinful to that which belonged to God. And so there had to be a willingness to be separated in your mind when this was done. That was the purpose of it. And so Christ had this done for all these very reasons. It confirmed him as the seed of Abraham. It also set him apart, set apart for God's glory, God's pleasure, and God's work, and God's walk of life for him. It also qualified him to go in the temple. It also qualified him to be called an Israelite. If he was to sit on the throne of David and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this would be required of him. If he wanted to be a part of the first covenant people of God, this was the sign of the first covenant. It was also on the 8th day that you finalized what you were going to name your child. You had 8 days to make up your mind what the birth certificate would read. This was decided not by Joseph and Mary, but was decided by the angel who came and said, you shall call his name Jesus. In the Old Testament, you have a man with the same name. It's Joshua. Joshua. A lot of boys probably were named this, but it was the name that the angel chose. It was the name that God chose. It's a name that means Savior. Now, we don't know what goes on between the 8th day and the 41st day of Christmas. Now, we know in our songs, our song goes 12 days and stops. We don't go on and say, no rabbits are hopping, or crickets are chirping, or frogs are croaking, or turtle doves are cooing. We don't have anything like that in the Bible. But there was something happened on the 41st day of Christmas. Jesus is now a little over a month old. Bethlehem is about 7 miles southwest of Jerusalem. On the 41st day after the birth of Jesus, Joseph and Mary take the baby Jesus, and I would assume walk 7 miles to Jerusalem. Taking about 3 hours, I guess. Not to go shopping, or to show the baby to friends, or to visit anyone in the city. They went there to obey 3 laws. As I said to you, this was a very law-abiding, obeying couple. They knew the laws of God. The first law they went to keep on the 41st day is in Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. Hopefully today I can tell you some things maybe you never knew. Sanctify unto me the firstborn. Now, Christ was the firstborn child of Mary. Sanctify, the word sanctify means set apart, kind of like circumcised. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn that open the womb among the children of Israel, not only of man, but also of animal. And so, I mean, sanctify unto me means they are mine. I claim them. And Moses said to the people, or the child is mine. Now, this relates to Luke chapter 2, verse 22. And when the days of purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem, and notice the last part, to present him to the Lord. Set the child apart, and he is mine. So the firstborn child is claimed by God. And the parents on the 41st day, the first time she can come out in public, 41st day, they bring the child to the temple to present that child to God. There is a ceremony that's involved in this. I'm sorry, the 31st day, not the 31st day, not the 41st, 31st day. But if it was not convenient, the child could not be given to the Lord. There is 41 days. So it could not be given to the Lord until he was a month old. You had to wait until the child was 31 days old. But if you could not get to the temple and a priest within 31 days, you could do it as soon as you can, which could be done later. Mary and Joseph decide to wait until she can go into public. That's 41 days. So they wait 10 more days. And we'd all obey all these laws at one time. There's three of them they got to obey. So Jesus now is about a month old, and the child is given to the Lord. Now, involved in this presentation is a second law, and I don't really understand this one. And I tried to read all the books I could, and they just wouldn't give me any explanation that I could understand. And you don't read this in Luke, but you go back to chapter 13 of Exodus, in the last part of verse 13. We were here a while ago. And Moses said to the people, remember this day, it is mine, in the verse 2, and then go to the last part of verse 13. The firstborn among your children, you shall redeem. You give your child to God in dedication. Then he says, you must redeem that child. The word redeem means buy back. And that's totally confusing to me. Look at the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 15. Everything that opened the matrix in all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether it be man or beast, shall be mine. Same thing. Everything born, firstborn, really, shall be mine. Whether it be a man or animal. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man thou shalt redeem. Shall redeem. Verse 16 tells you how much you got to pay. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old, see, you have to wait 30 days, thou shalt redeem. Again, he says that. According to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gibbos. I don't know what that is, but the amount was set. That you had to pay to get your child back. And I read that, and I said, I never heard of this. I did find that all the children of the tribe of Levi, male children, were called God's possession. If your son was born into the tribe of Levi, your son had but one profession to live for, to be a priest. He could not be a carpenter, he could not be a plumber, he could not be anything, he had to be a priest. He was called God's firstborn possession. I own this tribe, and they will serve me exclusively. When a father presents the child to the priest takes the child in his arms, he is declared to be like the firstborn of the tribe of Levi. The priest says the child is now God's, and we are God's children. Would you like to have him back? We represent God's firstborn people. This is the firstborn child. This chosen priesthood. This child will now become a priest. Unless you'd like to buy him back. Now that's the only concept that I had. You would never buy back from God a child. God would never relinquish ownership of any child. Or any person. So you can't redeem the child from God. That wouldn't make any sense at all. But you could from the priest. Redeem his child. Couldn't buy him back. because he was destined to be a priest. There wouldn't be anything wrong with Jesus being a priest, because he was. But Jesus had to be more than that. He had to also be a prophet. He also had to be a king, which priests couldn't be. He also had to be a savior, which priests couldn't be. Jesus had to be more than just a priest, but he was a priest. And so I would assume that the redeeming is you get to take your child back, and then that child can become whatever else God wants a child to be besides a priest. Because no child could be a priest who wasn't firstborn and belonged to the tribe of Levi. And so I would assume you'd buy back your child, and the amount of money was set that you had to pay the priest. Well, that's the second law. Joseph had to redeem the child of Jesus, get him back. That's all I can say. That's the best explanation I can give you. But he says they had to redeem him. Now, that's law. Now, what's involved and what's implied, I'm not really sure. I gave you the best explanation I can think of that makes any sense. That somebody else had your child. And you gave him away. When you give your child to God, folks, you give the child away. And the priest representing God said, we got your child. But God said, you can't keep him. You must allow the parent to buy him back. That's a must. Because I only want your sons to be priests. Now, there was a third law that was involved. In Leviticus chapter 12, I don't understand this one either, but I can read it to you. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3, is about the eighth day of the circumcision. And then it says, the woman, the mother, shall continue 30 more days of purification. She shall touch nothing sacred. She shall not come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. If she bears a girl child, it's even longer. Don't understand that. But when the days of her purification are fulfilled, if she has a son, she shall bring a lamb, or a daughter, she shall bring a lamb, a year old, for burnt offering, and a young pigeon, or turtle dove, for a sin offering. She shall bring this to the tabernacle, to the priest. The priest shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her. She shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or female. And if she is not able to afford to bring a lamb, then she, instead of bringing a lamb, she can bring two birds. A bird as a substitute for the lamb. She can bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. One for burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her. Now this describes the ceremony and the purpose of the purification that Mary came to Jerusalem to obtain. She had to wait 41 days for her purification rite before she could go back into the temple to meet with the priests. We know that they were poor because she didn't bring a lamb. Luke chapter 2. Now, poor also includes the middle class. Only the wealthy and upper class would own lands. So this doesn't mean they lived in poverty. It just means that they were lower class financially or middle class. Just couldn't afford lands. Luke 2:24. And they came and offered a sacrifice according to the law. I just read to you the law in Leviticus. What did they give? They gave two birds. They didn't give a lamb and a turtle dove. They gave a turtle dove, two turtle doves, or two young pigeons. That was the law. That's what they gave. They would give their money to the priest. There were many birds kept there for this purpose. And then those were the two birds that were sacrificed for her atonement. I don't understand this, people. I'm just telling you, this is why they went to Jerusalem. I think we're next introduced in our story to the priest that Joseph gave the baby to, and the priest that sacrificed the two birds for the atonement for Mary. I think the one we're talking to is the priest in the temple. He ministered there, and as God chose Joseph and God chose Mary, I think God chose this priest to be the one that would deal with this baby Jesus and would deal with the mother Mary. The priesthood had by now degenerated into a group of men who just carried out their duties with no interest whatsoever in what they were doing. Just a job. To them, they were not holy duties. They were just duties. They were not so much interested in pleasing God. They had no expectation or desire for the Savior, the Messiah, to come. For that wouldn't change their job at all. That wouldn't change their position. It really wouldn't make any difference to them whether he came or he didn't come. Because they just keep on doing the same thing in their mind. Now, a priest named Simeon was an exception to the rule of priests of that day. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he was a just man, describes him. He was a devout man. He was a religious man. And his great hope and great expectation was the waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a strange phrase to me. The consolation of Israel is what he waited for. The word consolation means comfort. He was waiting for someone to come and bring comfort to the people of the land of Israel. Now, there are two kinds of comfort, people, that you can gain from. And he said there will be a person coming. We'll see this. There is a person coming who can bring this comfort to the land of Israel. There is a child who will be born who can bring this consolation to Israel. There are two kinds of consolation and comfort. There is physical comfort and there is spiritual comfort. Most of the Jews had in mind physical comfort. Peace in the land, prosperity, health and wealth, good fortune, good crops, everything great and glorious in the life in which they live on this earth. That is comforting when you have that kind of situation. No crime, no war, no poverty, everything is wonderful. But that's physical comfort. And that's what most people are interested in, and that's all they're interested in. But this man was also offer spiritual comfort. Those that die right this moment and end up in hell, you know what they need more than anything else? Not better crops. Not more wealth. They need comfort. They need relief. They need escape. There's only one place you can get this comfort. And Simeon said it's through this person that's going to come. He can give us comfort in this life. He can give us comfort in the next life. This life will not last any of us more than probably 100 years at most. The next life, you're going to need comfort forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You want the kind of comfort you want now in the next life. Health, prosperity, goodness, peace, joy, happiness, fulfillment. Not just in this life do you want this. You want this in the next life. For the next life is so much longer than this life. There's no comparison. And so Simeon says, I'm looking for someone, for I am going to soon die. I want some comfort for the one who dies, as well as comfort for the one who lives. It's so hard to get this in minds of people that they don't want to think about it. It's just this life, tomorrow, here, now, this life. Well, what happens if, Zappo, you're not here tomorrow? Then you go say, I need comfort. Yes, you do need comfort. So Simeon was a man who understood this. And he said, there is a person coming in Israel. There is a child going to be born in this land that can bring this nation comfort. Now, I don't know how in the Bible when men would say God told them something. I don't know how God can say this to them. Did he speak audibly into their ears? Was it a loud noise? I don't know how God conveyed his will in his time period. But somehow God had told Simeon that he would not die until he had himself with his own eyes seen the consolation of Israel. Until he had seen the baby who was going to be the one that would provide the comfort. He told him that. This man's old. Been a priest all his life. From 30 years on. Probably 50 years. Can you imagine how many babies this man had been given over the years by fathers to redeem back? How many babies he had? He'd look at them and say, is this the baby God? Because I will see the baby that's going to be the Redeemer of Israel. Is this the baby? And there was silence. And he'd get another 4,000 or 5,000 in a year. Is this the baby? And then on this day, he was handed this baby by Joseph. Just like a, he looked at the baby, looked at his eyes. Is this the baby? Now follow me. Now, and it was revealed unto him how, I don't know. How did God tell Simeon this baby was the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel, the Redeemer? I don't know. He says the Holy Spirit somehow had told him that this was the Lord Christ. Let's go. And it came by the Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit must have said, Simeon, it's time to go to work. It's your time to go to the temple. So Simeon goes to the temple. And then here comes Joseph and Mary. They all get together at the right time. This is the one priest that God wants. So here comes Joseph. And they brought the child Jesus, as the custom of the law, to give the child to God and to redeem him back again. He took the child in his arms. They had to give the child away. You give your child to God. Give him away. There. Okay? Now he held the child. And he blessed God and he said, now you see in verse 29, he knows this is the child. I don't know how he knows this. But down here in verse 26, he says, this is the Lord's Christ. Now the word Christ is like the word carpenter. It's a title. It's not a name. Christ means Messiah. Christ means the anointed one. Christ means this is one of a kind child. This child has been sent by God to be the Redeemer, to be the Savior. Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. This is God's Messiah. This is the Lord's Christ. There's only one Christ. Only one Messiah. This is it. Now, after saying this is it, he looks at the child and he says, boy, I've seen the baby. And then he says, God, I'm ready to go home. I am ready to go. Now notice, verse 29, Lord, let thy servant go. What he means is he'll let me die. Because you said as soon as I saw the child, I would die. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Now, I want to give you a concept. I think Simeon was seeing a vision. Now, I said, I think he was seeing a vision. As he held that child, looked at him, Simeon saw darkness. And he saw the dawning of the morning star. One of the titles of Jesus in the Bible is the morning, bright and morning star. The morning star is the sun. Just as it comes over and it begins to rise and the darkness begins to disappear, it's sunrise. And Simeon sees darkness and then he sees the sun begin to rise. S-O-N begin to rise. And the light from the sun goes across the Gentile nations. Covers the land of Israel. As the sun rises, it covers the whole earth. That's what he's telling you here. I saw the light from this little baby rise, not just over the land of Israel. He's not going to just be the comfort of the people of Israel. He's going to be the comfort of the people of the whole world. This child is not just for Jews. This child is for Gentiles.